What about your study? And if you could talk specifically about what the trial number is and a little bit more about the design, and also what kind of controls do you have for quality in terms of both the surgery and radiation oncology?
Right. It's the N is approximately 584 patients to try and show a 10% increase in survival for patients who get induction chemo radiation therapy over induction chemo alone. Study chairs will be reviewing the surgery as well as the adverse events for medical oncology as well as the radiation oncology ports. This is going to be done as a quality control afterwards. For the surgery aspect of it, we have surgical forms that are filled out by the individual centers, so we know how many lobectomies or pneumonectomies have been done by the individual. We know how many specifically induction cases have been done per year by the individual. And we also know whether the individual has been certified by the American Board of Thoracic Surgeons. So we also, with regard to the translational correlates, the PET scanning, we're trying to compare apples to apples by saying that the PETs that are done preoperatively need to be done at the same institution post-treatment so that those can be compared.
Can you talk a little bit about what it's like to get informed consent for someone to allow randomization to, you know, thoracic surgery or not?
That's tough. That was the problem with the trial that Dr. Albane was doing. I mean, to approach somebody when in somebody's heart of hearts, they want to have surgery to remove this and they feel good about it, to go and present a case to them that we're going to randomize you as to whether you're going to get only non-surgical therapy versus surgical therapy and the chemo, it was a very tough sell. And that's why that trial took a very long time to accrue its numbers. This trial is a little different. The trial involves all the disciplines, and the patient doesn't feel like he is losing out by not having surgery, because you're going to have surgery. We truly do not know, though, whether the response rate, whether the long-term survival is different between the two groups. And we also are offering a new chemotherapy regimen. So the advantages of this trial and talking to a patient and being able to tell them that if you're interested in surgery and we're trying to make the surgery safer by defining that you have disease that is amenable to a, let's just say, lobectomy and less resection, lobectomy being the standard, that's going to be more appealing. And I think that although it takes time to talk to patients, it'll be an easier sell.
Is the study up and running?
Study is up and running. The accrual is now picking up after about an 8-month period where it was difficult to get all the aspects of this trial done at the individual centers, specifically getting the surgical questionnaires all done and sent in so that each center knew that we were saying that they could be a part of the trial.
Now, are you allowing pneumonectomy?
We are allowing a pneumonectomy, absolutely. I mean, if you get in there and the patient needs a pneumonectomy, then we're going to allow it, but we're trying to decrease the number of pneumonectomies. Moreover, I think that we've done a better job in alerting thoracic surgeons to this, number one, and number two, it's thoracic surgeons. We're going to have thoracic surgeons taking care of these patients, making these decisions, so that hopefully the volume of pneumonectomies will be less and will only be in selected cases.
Can you talk about the chemotherapy regimen that's being utilized and why it was chosen?
The cisplatin taxotere regimen was the one that was used by Dr. Bettiger from the Swiss trials and really had promising response rates, as well as intermediate 5-year survivals that were very promising in an induction trial that was done with induction cisplatin taxotere alone. That was subsequently followed up at the ISLC meeting, and the numbers held and were very similar to the Roth-Rosell type numbers that we had from before. So then the issue became, well, with this new regimen, could we then combine it with radiation therapy? And we did, but we reduced the doses so that it could be more compatible.
What has been seen in terms of how patients tolerate the regimen?
They tolerate it pretty well, but there's some mixed emotions about that. There are some centers that have commented that it's very easy to get the patients through and that the AEs are certainly manageable. And that is our experience at NYU. I mean, because that is the regimen that had been used at NYU even before I got there. And that seems to be the same thoughts as at other centers like Sloan Kettering. So I think that it's a manageable regimen that I think will be adaptable to the community very well, and it's already being used in the community.
Now, what about maintenance or post-operative chemotherapy? The SWOG 9504 regimen has docetaxel. What are you doing?
They're getting the same. They will be getting post-operative docetaxel after they are, let's just say, resected in a consolidation mode, and that is for both arms.